It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Alrighty, folks. Well, welcome here. Oh, okay. I stepped on your toes, Corey. We didn't plan this. That's my bad.
I was just going to say, Happy New Year to everybody. Everybody doing well? I know it's...
Oh, we got a little bit of breakup. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not this early. Got you, Corey. We got you.
Am I breaking up already?
Already, man. Already.
All right, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. All right, well, welcome here to Sports Central, first show of 2026, January 5th, 2026. Hopefully everybody had a great new year. We've been off since last Tuesday, so it's been a while since we did talk, so hopefully everybody enjoyed their holiday. But obviously there is a ton we have missed in the last week or so. Corey is remote today. He is on the road. So, hopefully we're able to hear him and he's not breaking up here and there. We got you still, Corey?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly fine. Can you hear me okay,
buddy? All right. Now I think we're good. It was a little staticky there at first, but I think we're going there. I'll let you continue right here, Corey.
Well, just wanted to say Happy New Year to everybody. We got a bunch of Steelers stuff to talk about, and we will take your phone calls, 946-0435. So clearly last night's game, you want to talk about reshaping and redefining an organization. I mean, we've got a ton to get into with the Steelers, Mike Tomlin. But Nathan, I need to start the show today. I got some really sad news to report. The passing of longtime local sports journalism legend Jim Lane. For those who are not aware, Jimmy has passed away, a longtime sports editor of the Altoona Mirror, good friend of mine. He hired me at the Altoona Mirror in 1999, and Neil Riddell called me earlier today with that news. Anybody who's listening to this show, if you're local in or around the Altoona area, I'm sure you have had a lot of experience or memories of Jim Lane. You're talking about a guy that covered local sports in the Altoona area for 50 years. I mean, that it is. You go back and look at the archives of Jimmy's Down the Lane columns from the 70s, and just what a truly legendary person and good friend. And so, I know I'm breaking the news to a lot of people who may not be aware of it, but Jimmy was 85. He had been battling some health issues. So I just want to start the show by mentioning that. And hey, look, we've got a lot of Steelers stuff, a lot of things to go over, college football, the playoff. But I will say, if anybody wants to call in and share any memories of Jim Lane, Nathan, I could do a whole show on Jim Lane and his career. Steve Tannehill passed away a couple weeks ago. Jimmy covered Steve. Jim covered Altoona High athletics for decades. Still has a lot of family members who work in the Altoona area school district and in athletics. And we've had great athletes come through Altoona for a long, long time, and we mentioned the Mike Reeds of the world and the Steve Tannehills of the world. There aren't many figures from an Altoona sports perspective bigger than Jim Lane. And I say that fully confident that Jimmy did everything that he could to cover local athletics and especially Altoona High as fairly and honestly as he could. And again, this is going for 50 years. So anybody who knew Jimmy, read Jimmy over the years, he retired officially from the Mirror in about 05, but still worked a whole bunch, still covered lots and lots and lots of games and events. And I got to work very closely with Jim for a lot of years at Curve Games. He loved, as much as anybody in Altoona, the fact that the curve came to Altoona in 1999. And so, again, I know that there are a lot of you out there that want to talk about the Steelers and Mike Tomlin and the field goals. But I just found out about 3 hours ago about Jimmy's passing. And so if anybody would wants to call in and share any of your favorite stories about Jim Lane, I haven't known many better human beings in my life than Jim Lane. Just one of those type of people that everybody always has good things to say about Jimmy. And my thoughts and prayers are with his family today. His wife, Jean, passed away about 5 years ago, and now Jimmy can be with her. So I just wanted to mention that off the start, Nathan, because, again, in my 25 years of living in Altoona, when we talk about icons and legendary people, sure, we can mention Mike Reed. We can mention Mike Isolino, Doug West, Johnny Moore. But Jim Lane covered them all, wrote about them all, told stories about them all. There have been hundreds of thousands, millions of stories and words written by Jim Lane that have covered the history of Altoona sports. And so I just want to make sure that we give him proper credit and tribute, because there have not been many greater local sports journalists in this country than Jim Lane was in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And I mean that with all sincerity. So again, anybody want to call in and share any memories of Jim or any thoughts of Jim? We've got lots of Steelers stuff to get to. If we don't have a call, Nathan, we'll take a break and kind of reset everything. Because we do have that missed field goal last night by the Ravens basically might have defined the Steelers for the next 10 years. We're talking one kick that may have changed the Steelers organization for 10 years or longer. So we've got a lot to get into on that.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. But first off, rest in peace, prayers for the family, thoughts and prayers out to you guys. Obviously sad news here in the Altoona area that you lose such a legend at the – I know, you know, Corey, you kind of had the same career as him, so probably hits a little bit different for you than a lot of people. So sorry to hear that. I never got to meet him, but from what you're talking about and he sounds like an excellent, excellent person, did a great job, and, you know, obviously thoughts and prayers out to the family. We do have a couple calls, so we can hit these real quick.
Let me say this real quick, Nathan, before we get to the phone line. And this does go hand in hand with what you and I talk about a lot, with me being the old guy, you being the young guy, the way I grew up consuming sports, the way you've grown up consuming sports. The local newspaper used to be all there was.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't find information about anybody or anything without the local newspaper. And again, I know that's different for your life. You can get it on the internet and find any statistic, literally, or any fact about an athlete immediately. But for somebody like Jim Lane that started covering sports in the 60s, that's all that sports fans had. That's the newspaper, what would appear. First, the Mirror was an afternoon paper for a long time, then a morning paper. You didn't know sports information about Mike Reed unless you read Jim Lane or Herb Werner, or later Neil Riddell, writing about it in the newspaper. And it just goes to show how much life has changed. And me being in the media for a long, long time, the newspaper has always been a very valuable and sacred thing to me because of what it represented. And it is very sad, and it's unfortunate that, quite frankly, newspapers don't represent that a lot anymore. You can find any information at the drop of an eye, and you don't need to wait for the newspaper the next day. So, but that's an interesting component, Nathan, of maybe how I grew up versus how you grew up. And we have a lot of listeners, older listeners, who, again, that's why when I say Jimmy Lane was as much of a legend as anybody, people in Altoona for 30 or 40 years didn't know anything about what was going on in the world of sports, especially Altoona High, unless Jim Lane wrote about it in the Altoona Mirror. And that's a really powerful thing and legacy.
Yeah, it's a huge legacy for him. He'll obviously be remembered through eternity through that, writing about Altoona sports. And like you mentioned, it's a foreign concept to me, the fact that, you know, all you had back in the day was the local newspaper to get all this information. Now I can just search on my phone, search on Facebook, and everything pops up that I need. But that wasn't in existence till 10, 15, 20 years ago. And for a lot of our listeners out there, the only way you got the information was through him. So, you know, obviously a legend, a true legend in the Altoona area, Altoona sports area. So, again, just shows the difference. You know, you were talking about the news, but shows the difference in age gaps between us and kind of how we've received information throughout time, and where I never dealt with that. That was all that seems so bizarre to me, but that's how it was for 100 years before the internet was in existence. So a little bit different. So all right, we're gonna hit the phone lines real quick. 4646, what's up? How we doing?
Are you talking to me?
Talking to you, Dan.
Okay. Well, now Corey's not with you, but he can hear, right?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay. Well, Jim Lane, he had faithful every year about the Father's Day miniature golf course, and about his dad going to New York Yankees and things like this to New York. And then there were dirt poor growing up, see. And then that's one article. Now, it isn't every Father's Day for the last 15 years, I would say. And then he would always, him and his wife, would go down to spring training, and then he would write every day about it, see? And it would be in the paper the previous day and everything. He was a class act. It's real small in stature, but big as hard as gold and everything. You couldn't ask for a better person, Corey. You explained it perfect. And you can't say. I mean, I can think several stories about him and run into him at the ball games and things. And he would cover BG every once in a while, too, and everything. And he was pretty good about the local sports around too. He would mention local sports too, local athletes and things in the coverage area, like what WRT, what they broadcast, and Lightner Communication.
I talk about this. Let me interrupt you real second, Dan. I talk about this a great deal with Lightner Communications. And the commitment Matt Leitner, Andy Kreiser, Bob Taylor have made in covering local sports. You're talking about airing more than 100 high school sporting events a year, not to mention all the Curve games and, you know, even Little League Baseball. Local sports are the lifeblood of communities. Now, see, I've had a different career. I've covered the Curve and Penn State and, you know, kind of more St. Francis. I've dealt with a lot of guys as they've gotten older and closer to the pros and that kind of thing. I didn't do a lot of high school sports in Altoona, but I always had tremendous respect for what Jim did, how important covering local teams always was to Jim, and then also to Neil Riddell, Buck Frank at the Altoona Mirror. Mike Boydum is the best high school reporter in the state of Pennsylvania. And all of that started with Herb Werner, the sports editor of the Mirror before Jim, and then Jim Lane establishing a foundation of, they're going to cover Altoona and Hollidaysburg and BG, but then so many other teams, Central, Tyrone, Claysburg, Williamsburg, Tussie Mountain, for crying out loud, going out over a large region. And again, to echo kind of what you're saying, Dan, the coverage of local sports, our sports fans in and around Altoona and Blair County have been spoiled forever with tremendous coverage of the kids growing up in their communities.
You couldn't say it any better. I mean, all his writings, Corey, for the past 40 years that I've been associated with him, hardly any negative. He would spin it in a different way. He just would spin it in a different way, and certainly he got aggravated and got upset and everything about way different things were run and everything. I'm talking on the high school level now. I'm talking on the high school level, but he would spin it in a different way, and I don't know if you realize that or not, Corey.
Absolutely, no question. And Dan, I appreciate you calling in. Nathan, we have some more calls because I do want to make sure we talk a lot of Steelers today. But I know that we have a lot of people in our area that I'm sure are very sad and hearing this for the first time about Jimmy.
Yeah, we got one more call right now. 1147, got you on the line. How you doing?
Nebraska man.
Nebraska man, what's up?
Hey, first of all, Happy New Year to you two guys.
Happy New Year.
Also, real quick, I want to mention the passing of a great man who backed up sports in the Altoona area for anybody, any child, any organization. That was the passing of the CEO and president, Steve Sheets, passed away last night.
Yeah.
And he did so much for sports. But real quick, Frank Polito was a sports writer for the Altoona Mirror. He died very young, but he grew up in Little Italy with us guys. He became a sports writer. And the one quick memory of Jimmy Lane, my thoughts and prayers go out to his daughter Jill. When we were down in Madison, Ohio, we were practicing the one day there. Paul Brown football field where they play exhibition, and Jimmy Lane come on the field, talk to Earl Strome, come up to the guys, come in the locker room. When the game was over, the head coach of Madison, Ohio, really wanted to know more about the Altoona area and sports because how Altoona was, how we played. And Jimmy Lane wrote an article. I wish I could get that article. He did write an article in the Massillon, Ohio Herald down there and put a story in about the train rides, the people going down in the trains whenever we played down there in Massillon, Ohio. But he was truly, truly a great man who loved sports. And I don't know, Corey, if you know this or not, But back in the day, R.T. Hill's coaching Altoona High girls, the Altoona High boys coaching job came up, and there was a lot of criticism over it because Larry Bitar and Steve Taney, R.T. Hill, were brothers. And a lot of criticism came up over that Larry got the head coaching job because he was too young. And Jimmy Lane and Herb Warner put articles in the Altoona Mirror not to judge a person by their age, by the knowledge that they have in sports. And he was the type of guy, like Dan said, never talked bad about anybody at all. He just wrote. But I think when he wrote, he's like you, Corey, when his articles in Niels, he told the truth whether you liked him or not, whether you liked your article or not. But he was the type of man that when he wrote it, you could believe that that it was nothing but the truth. And finally, on the Pittsburgh Steelers, that was a great game last night. With Metcalf coming back next week, Houston's a 3.5-point favorite. Pittsburgh's at home. I don't know if their offense can handle Houston's defense, but if they play the way they did last night against Houston, then I think they got a good shot. And thanks, guys, for taking the time to hear me.
Absolutely, Nebraska man. Appreciate you calling in. Got you, Corey. Got you still?
I'm still here. If we don't have any more calls, we can take a break because we have an enormous amount of stuff to talk about with the Steelers. Obviously, it's great to get into the playoffs. Winning in the NFL is incredibly difficult. Nathan, my Super Bowl prediction was Ravens versus Lions.
Oh.
Neither one of those teams made the playoffs. And here we have Mike Tomlin in the playoffs. But that's a problem. So let's take a break. We can get to both sides of it. I am very curious, Nathan, because you and I haven't necessarily talked about it yet. And everybody that wants to join in, 946-0435. Is it better off that the Steelers made the playoffs? Or would they have been better off if that kick had gone through last night? It's amazing the amount of futures that potentially changed by him missing that kick.
It's time for the Steve Willett Morning Show promo in stereo. Wake up each morning 6 to 10 with your early morning dose of knowledge in the form of random facts.
We've got the top 5 list.
Not headline news.
Dad joke theater.
Morning shower thoughts.
Stupid news.
The legends of number 1.
And we'll discuss what the buzz is around the water cooler and coffee maker.
It's the Hank Morning Show with Steve Willett in stereo on 96.1 FM.
As well as compatible mono on 1370 AM.
Yeah, buddy.
You're waking up with Steve Willett on 96.1 Hank FM.
If you're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes, if you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hank FM.
I'm on location. I'm driving back from the south. Nathan, you know how much gas? Well, I was in Arkansas for the last few days. My mom's not doing well. You know how much gas costs in Arkansas, Nathan?
I'm going to go $2.39.
$2.19.
All right. I mean, I wish it was up here. Did you bring some back for me?
That's the lowest figure I've seen in 10, 12 years, probably. And I'm back in PA right now. We're driving back in, so we're near 84 near Pittsburgh. And it's up into the 270 range. I'm guessing it's probably still 310, 315 in Altoona. It does kind of piss you off to wonder how in the world gas prices can be a dollar different in various parts of the country. It drives you crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going into that we don't want to dive into, but interesting. I mean, I wish that gas price, I think gas right now is up to 309, 319, up, or 319, 329 up here. So, you know, Oof. About a dollar difference between, 5,000 or how many miles, like 1,500, 2,000 miles or whatever it is that you're driving there. So, yeah, quite the difference.
What a crazy night last night. 946-0435. I want to ask all Steelers fans, what were your emotions going through that? Nathan, you're a Steelers fan. They score a touchdown. Boswell misses the PAT. That Ravens dude, not only did he make a great catch, you want to talk about an unbelievable throw that Lamar Jackson made. You've heard me talk about how I don't think Drew Aller is going to be any good at all in the NFL. I mean at all. I've never seen Drew Aller make a throw like Lamar Jackson made on that 4th and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Over one defender, right in front of another defender, on the spot. I mean, those are the kinds of throws you have to make to be a great NFL quarterback. And then they missed the field goal. What were your emotions during that 5-minute stretch?
So I think I had a mild heart attack. I mean, it was insane. A lot of profanity coming out. I was very, very, I don't even know what was going through my head right there. It was kind of all a blur, but it was just back and forth. It felt like, if you remember earlier on in the year, it felt like the Cincinnati Bengals ending to that game. Do you remember that one where back and forth down the stretch? That is exactly what it reminded me of. And he goes down, and Isaiah Likely makes that catch on 4th and 7 after it felt like the Steelers were going to somehow get out of there because they had the penalty that was iffy on the tackle that probably could have passed as not being a penalty. And then the DeAndre Hopkins.
You know what? How much feedback has there been on that penalty today? I know they said very briefly on the broadcast something about your belt needs to be lined up with the center or whatever. Is there a lot of grief from Ravens fans about that? I mean, to call that penalty in that situation, I mean, one, if that guy truly was not lined up on the line of scrimmage, what a dumbass with the season on the line. But two, I don't know that rule well enough to know, like, how can that be called?
Well, I'll tell you what. The Ravens fans are throwing their frustration at one man, so there hasn't been too much on the referees quite yet. But I don't know how you make that decision or how you make that – how you're not lining up correctly in that position – with the game under a minute and you know you cannot take a penalty there. I don't understand that. I think there were a lot of calls, though, that went – because there was a lot of pass interference, I think, on the Ravens side that didn't get called. More specifically, the one on Calvin Austin, I believe it was, coming across the middle, and Kyle Hamilton basically tackled him. That was the play he ended up getting injured on, I believe. So I think there was a lot of calls both ways to where people aren't pointing at the refs as much in this game. But, man, that is, if you're a Ravens fan, that – with the D-Hop play directly after, where if D-Hop just runs up the field, he might have a 50-yard walk-in touchdown. And it's just, as a Ravens fan, it's got to be so frustrating. And then the real backbreaker comes, in which Father, I forget his name, blesses that side, and wide right. Wide right like the Bill. It was insane. I was watching the game, and I just collapsed to the ground when he missed that kick. And I thought for sure in real time, I was watching it, Ben Skoranek jumped over the line. I thought they were going to call that leverage. I saw that immediately. That's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, oh, my God, they're gonna get bailed out by a penalty right there. I'm like, is there a flag? There was no flag on the field, and I just sat on the couch, and I just quick, deep exhale and immediately went to the messages and responded to everybody texting me at that moment.
814-946-0435 if you want to weigh in. I'm sitting here outside of Pittsburgh, and I still don't know if it would have been better if he would have made the kick. I just don't. I think that I honestly believe Mike Tomlin would have been gone if they would have lost. For this reason, there started to be reports. And look, who knows what to believe when you get agents involved and crazy things. And I don't always buy one particular radio guy in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. I think he makes up a lot of stuff, and half of it is way off. But he did report, and then some other people kind of seemed to allude to it as well, including Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, that if the Steelers had lost the game, no, maybe Rooney was not going to fire Mike Tomlin, but they were going to decide not to pick up the 2027 option. And if they had not picked up the 2027 option and made him a lame duck coach next year, I believe Mike Tomlin would have left. I believe they would have worked out a deal, because I don't believe Mike Tomlin, with his ego and pride and success that he's had for a long time, would have been a lame duck coach. He wouldn't have allowed it. He would not have allowed it. So I do believe, and we'll never know, and this is why I can be right here, Nathan, because I can never be proven wrong. If they would have lost, I think that was Mike Tomlin's final game. And I can sit here and tell you with 95% certainty that the Pittsburgh Steelers organization would have been better off without Mike Tomlin going forward in the future. So that's my issue. As a Steelers fan, it was crazy to see him miss the kick. When Boswell missed the PAT, I was like, oh, my God! And then when Loop missed the field goal, hey, look, it's a 44-yard kick in Pittsburgh at night and cold. I mean, there are 12 seconds left. I don't know why they didn't necessarily throw a little quick out to try to get 5 or 6 more yards. They just let Lamar kneel on the ball for a 44. I mean, look, these are things that determine games and determine franchises. But I look at it and I think if he would have made that kick, I just think the Pittsburgh Steelers would have been better off as an organization. Am I wrong?
I think long-term, yes. I do agree with you because I don't know what's going to happen whenever he doesn't pick up a veteran quarterback that knows what he's doing. If he didn't have Aaron Rodgers this year, this team might have won 5 games. So I think long-term, I don't know how the next couple years are going to go if Tomlin's sticking around, which I anticipate he will. There's been a lot of rumblings, too, about television. I've heard that a ton as well, Tomlin wanting to get into television. I think he's going to stay for sure now that they won this game, unless it is just an absolute beating against the Texans they take on their home field on Monday night, again in that primetime slot. But I agree with you. I think they would have been better off long term if Mike Tomlin loses that game, especially because if you looked at the way they would have lost that game, they yeah. scored 3 broken play touchdowns on a fourth down early, in which Jalen Ramsey bites down and they're also committed to the run game and he gets beat over top. Then you have Patrick Queen on Zay Flowers in that scenario. That's a complete mismatch in which Zay Flowers just runs right by him. And then you have Zay Flowers again with I've never seen a guy more wide open. Never in my life on a football field make a catch than what I did last night. I could have caught that pass and ran in most likely. I was not getting tracked down. That's how much space there was in between everybody on that field right there. So it's if they would have lost the game and those 3 plays you can point out and say the Steelers, because I felt like the Steelers outplayed the Ravens last night. I don't know about you. I thought they outplayed the Ravens last night. I thought they held Derrick outside the first play. I thought they held Derrick Henry in check for pretty much the entire game. I thought they moved the ball much better. And like I said, it was 3 broken play touchdowns that the Ravens scored on. So if you would have lost on that on your home field, I don't think you were coming back next year.
Yeah, and this was really the closest it's come to that, I believe, and the first time. So am I supposed to hope they lose by 30 and then maybe he still moves on? Because if they win against the Texans, I think Mike Tomlin is their coach for the next 20 years, in which case, I'm serious. I don't know that I can be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan watching this nonsense for the rest of my life, because the way they play football, the way he coaches football is so difficult to watch from an entertainment standpoint. And ultimately, I want to be entertained. But at the end of the day, like I said, I picked the Ravens and the Lions to go to the Super Bowl, and they're both at home, and the Steelers are in the playoffs. So I'm really having a hard time wrapping my mind around everything that took place. And I did kind of allow myself a little bit of a sense of closure when Lamar Jackson completed that pass. I had already kind of bought in that was going to be it, Nathan. I thought he's going to make the field goal and we're going to be done with Mike Tomlin. So I had about 45 seconds of peace and tranquility and hope for the future. And then the damn guy misses the kick, and I realize that we're going to be stuck with Mike Tomlin for a long, long time.
I'm going to be honest with you, Corey. I thought he was going to miss that kick from the beginning.
Why? I thought,
number one, I don't know why the Ravens didn't do this. Just run forward with Derrick Henry and get a couple extra yards. It makes it a little bit easier of a kick.
Now, earlier in the year,
Henry had a fumbling problem.
Fumbling issue. I don't know if he's had that lately because he hasn't had it for his career. But maybe John Harbaugh is like, you know what, I'm not even going to trust Derrick Henry here.
Which I think is ludicrous if you don't put the ball in his hands. He's the best player on the field. He had a costly one, I believe, 2 weeks ago with New England. So as of recent, he did have the fumbling issues. But also in that scenario, it's all protecting. You're not, you know, reaching for extra. All those are punch outs from behind, in which Derrick Henry's got 2 hands on the ball and just looking to get 2 or 3 yards there to make it a little bit easier. And then I don't know why I thought Justin Tucker's looming right here. You had to get rid of him, the best kicker in NFL history because of all the stuff that came out about him. But you have a rookie kicker in that scenario. He doesn't have the strongest. He really, I think his long on the year was 52. And by NFL standards now, that's nothing. That's a chip shot for most of these guys. And Tom,
Nathan, let's not sugarcoat this. when we break down football games, we don't have any calls, right?
Well, we got a couple here. We'll wrap up and then we'll hit the
phone. All right, well, let me make this point very quickly. When we break down football and drafts and all this stuff, we spend millions of hours on offense and defense and quarterbacks and projection. How much do we talk about kickers? None.
Never.
Nobody. Ever. Never. Nobody talks kickers. You know what? The Ravens beat the Steelers a lot in a lot of close games because for the longest time, Justin Tucker was the best kicker in NFL history. And so you have a guy that goes off and has those personal problems, and then you feel like you got to move on from him. And that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers are advancing, because of a kicker. And that's what blows my mind about the NFL. Again, you've heard me laugh about the draft and all this stuff. People will spend millions of hours evaluating the draft. Why are the Steelers in the playoffs and the Ravens are at home? Because Justin Tucker can't control himself, allegedly, and because a rookie can't make a 44-yard kick.
Special teams takes all three phases. All right, we're going to the phone lines now. 0590. How we doing?
Hey, it's Jim from up here.
Jim, what's up? How we doing?
Oh, pretty good.
What were your emotions last night?
Oh, man. After the first quarter, we went down 10-0. The wife came in and took the motor control box so we could throw it. But as the game went on, I calmed down a little bit. And right at the very end, when he was going to kick that field goal, we were hollering, miss it, miss it. She got up and walked out into the hall and stood in the hall. And I just covered my eyes because the radio is like 5 seconds faster than TV.
Yeah.
And I kept hollering, miss it, miss it. And then I could hear the guy saying, oh, it's up. It looks like it might be long enough. All of a sudden, he missed it. And I says, Tom, did I hear myself right? And she says, yeah, you did. And then he came back on and said that he missed it.
So
and
what do you
I
think,
said
Jim?
That to Mayim Cope up there. He was on the side. That was the 50th anniversary of the terrible foul.
And see, that's what I, Jim, with all due respect to you, and look, maybe I'm way, way off here, but with all due respect to this holy water on the field and Myron Cope and terrible towels and all this stuff, I cannot escape the feeling that the Pittsburgh Steelers would have been better off if he had made the kick. Tell me that I'm wrong, Jim.
I think you're wrong. I mean, right now, they won. Who cares what happens to Tomlin? He got us into the playoffs, and we didn't think he was going to get there. He proved that everybody wrong. But, I mean, people should be happy that we were in the playoffs. We could be right now cleaning the lockers out.
The only thing that would make me happy is a win. If they win the playoff game, Nathan, do you agree with this? If they win the playoff game and you can end everybody saying it's been 9 years since they won a playoff game, so that's fine. Then Mike Tomlin's going to be their coach for 25 more years. But if they lose the playoff game, Jim, I promise you, I'm going to be sitting here telling you that him missing that kick is the worst possible thing that could have happened.
Possibly.
I have no faith that Mike Tomlin can lead that organization in the coming years to get better. They will always be exactly what they are, a 9-8 team, with the difference being who makes or misses a kick.
Well, I mean, yeah, thank God they don't got Fields or Wilson in there. Our season would have been over. I mean, Rodgers last night, the first quarter, I was mad because he was missing them. But then when he seemed to settle down, he was, like, pretty much on. And like we were saying, there was a lot of holding calls on the Ravens that didn't get called. They should have been called. We just touch the receiver, and we get called for a call.
Nathan, where do you stand on this? If they lose by double digits to the Texans, what do you think the reaction is going to be to Mike Tomlin?
If they lose double digit to the Texans, I think that people are going to call for his job again. And I do think that he will not be – it depends how bad it is. I think if it's 10-plus points, I do not think he's the coach of the Steelers next year. If it's anything closer than that, run it back with Tomlin. That's my belief. I think there is actually a lot of things that benefit Pittsburgh in this matchup against Houston. I do not think they'll win the game, but I think that this is maybe the best draw. I mean, clearly between them or the Bills, this is the best draw. You know, the Chargers probably are a better team to play right now because they're a little more banged up. But, you know, Monday Night Football, Tomlin knows that this is his bread and butter. This is the Steelers. So, all right, we do have another call. Jim, we appreciate your call. 1-388. How we doing?
It's Roger from Myrtle Beach.
Roger, what's up?
Well, it was a rough day golfing today because I had to stay up last night and watch that game. So, but
might have been the longest game of Sunday Night Football too. I think that was on until like 11:50. That was quite the experience, quite the roller coaster.
Well, I had to have one more beer and then I had to listen to Charlie Batch and the post game show. So, but anyhow, it was very early tea time this morning, so little chilly start. But anyhow, back to the game. You know what they call the Hayward brothers doing the tush push?
Brotherly shove? Brotherly shove? Is that what we're going with?
It is the Steel City shove.
Okay. Steel City shove.
Yeah. So, but that's the Steeler Radio Network call for that. But anyhow, Corey, I do agree with you. I mean, if we would have lost last night, I think that would have been end of Tomlin. But we didn't. I'm not happy with how we won, but we won. So I can't believe Boswell missed that extra point. And Tyler Loop, I didn't think he was going to miss the field goal. So, but we're in the playoffs, playoffs. So we're a 3.5-point underdog right now. I'm a little surprised at that being at home, but I actually think the Steelers might run this for a couple of games. I think they're starting to hit, with Freiermuth. I don't know why they didn't use him earlier in the year, but he seems to be the go-to guy when they need to get a completion. So, and Rodgers was very emotional last night after the game. I don't know if you guys seen that or not.
Yeah, he was very emotional.
I really am trying not to be overly cynical here. I just can't stand Mike Tomlin. And so all of the things that we have talked about for years, quarterback development, horrific game management, what the hell is he doing at the end of the first half? Take the damn points. These are the things that I have one personal problem I've kind of had in my life is not enjoying the journey and only looking at the result. Some of you out there may be like this. Some of you out there may be the opposite. When I had kids, I forced myself to try to enjoy every day, okay? Not think, well, what are they going to be when they're 18 or 25 or 35 years old? Let's enjoy every day. Okay, because I was always the person that I'm just looking at the result. I didn't care what I learned in school. I needed to get an A. Okay, the result was all that ever mattered to me. So the result in this case is the Steelers are in the playoffs, and that should please a fan 100% of the time, right? But I just don't have faith that this journey that they're on with Mike Tomlin, that any of this is the best case scenario for the team. It's good for this. They got there this year. They got maybe Aaron Rodgers for one or two more games. We'll see. But just knowing that now we're probably stuck with Mike Tomlin for maybe another 5 years makes me want to emulate Jim and throw something and break my TV.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll continue on the other side talking about the Steelers again. 946-0435. Make sure you get us a call in so we can know your result, your thoughts on the results of last night's game.
Slow down and recharge in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, where trails, streams, and forest roads invite you to breathe deep and reconnect. Explore more than 750,000 acres of public land while hiking Rothrock State Forest, cycling scenic gravel routes, or casting a line in legendary trout streams. After a day outdoors, settle into a cozy inn or boutique lodge. Enjoy a field-to-fork dinner and raise a glass to simple moments that matter most. Adventure, relaxation, and connection. It all comes together in Center of Adventure in Pennsylvania. Plan your escape today at happyvalley.com.
You want to share your thoughts on the Steelers. You can tell me I'm wrong. That's fine. I am going to try to enjoy this week looking ahead to the playoffs because, again, winning in the NFL is the hardest of any sport. It's extremely difficult to win, and I will give Mike Tomlin credit at 10-7. You know, Nathan, try to talk me off the ledge here a little bit. Is there anything I'm missing with regards to maybe thinking that this team could actually pull a rabbit out of its hat and win at least a game in the playoffs?
So here's what I will say. Remember how we were talking about them before the Browns game, that three-week stretch where – I believe it was 3 weeks where it was the Dolphins. Can't remember. It might have been the Ravens, Dolphins, and the Lions wins in that three-game stretch. Remember how we were talking about them? We were starting to question, hey, is this team actually – you know, has it got what it takes to maybe win a playoff game here and maybe get a little bit hot with Aaron Rodgers, a veteran in the playoffs? We were talking about them, and then obviously the Browns game looked the way it did. Let's not remember, they are getting back really one of the only competent receivers on their roster, which I shouldn't say. Those receivers did come up big yesterday. Adam Thielen had a nice catch. Calvin Austin was running some nice routes and had some nice catches. Obviously, the big one, the score right there. But DK Metcalf is returning as well. That is a huge piece. As a $30 million receiver, in which, while the stats might not show it this year, he has been impactful. He's been probably their best receiver on the – I mean, not probably. He is the best receiver on the field whenever he's on the field. So that's where I'm talking off the ledge for a little bit, and I'm saying, hey, listen, and you're getting a warm-weather team coming up here as well. That's always something in the playoffs as well. I'll talk you off the ledge a little bit. And a young quarterback. Tomlin always rattles young quarterbacks, it seems. C.J. Stroud, it's year three for him. He's starting to get under the belt, but he is turnover-prone in some of these games. That might be something that comes into play.
Well, the Steelers' defense has played pretty well lately. I mean, I know there were some broken plays last night. I thought 95% of the snaps, the Steelers looked really good on defense.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry ran wild in the first half, but I think he had 14 yards rushing in the second half. And Lamar Jackson didn't look good except for when the game was completely on the line. I do feel a little bad for Lamar Jackson. We take a look at quarterbacks and we give them all the praise when they win and all the blame when they lose. That's not really Lamar Jackson's fault. Again, I go back to that 4th-and-7 throw and then the touchdown throw that he made to get out of trouble to hit the wide open Flowers. But that 4th-and-7 throw, dude, that is as good of a throw with your whole season on the line. That is what makes an NFL quarterback, is having touch, not just firing a laser right into the front defender or throwing it too high so that the back defender gets it. I mean, that's so I look at all these things and think, you know, hey, maybe it was destiny for the Steelers. And while I can't say – look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Aaron Rodgers has played really well. He is still rated like 23rd, 24th in the league in QBR. He is an above-average quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's an above-average quarterback. You mentioned DK Metcalf. They get him back if he could catch 4 or 5 balls, you know, and still use Freiermuth. But to me, the one thing I think that I might feel best about is we've talked about the highest paid defense in the league all year. Hey, if they can come out and have a good game, you know, I want to think that it's possible, but then I look back at these last 5 or 6 playoff appearances when they've been down like 109-20 or something before the blink of an eye. I just hope Mike Tomlin has them prepared to play.
All right, got a couple callers here we'll try to hit real quick. We got 7375. How we doing?
Hey, it's Chuck from Unionville. Doing good, I think. Corey, you sound like me, wanting him to miss that field goal. And I completely agree with you. You can talk about, you know, they got into the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. But as I said on Black and Gold Breakdown, people have to stop looking at Tomlin on a game-to-game or a within-a-season evaluation and take a look at the last, you know, 15 years since the Super Bowl that they lost to in Green Bay. Because they're a mediocre team. As every national commentator has said, if it wasn't for the fact that this was the Steelers and Rooney's, Tomlin would have been fired a decade ago. Nobody would have put up with this. And so we've made it to the playoffs. We might win a game. And we're going to crow about that he's done that once in the last decade. That's not Steeler football. But that's what we're given until Art Rooney decides something different.
We got as close as we're ever going to get last night. And look, hey, I think deep down I wanted him to miss the field goal. But when he missed the field goal, I just know I felt more remorse than happiness, as weird as that sounds.
You know, it's like painful football to watch. And you can root all you want, but if you are going to take a big picture look in the back of your mind, you're saying, miss the field goal, miss the field goal, Tomlin gets an extension. Miss the field goal, Tomlin gets an extension. I mean, where do you go with that? Literally, where do you go? Because
Nathan,
you
I'm
know
curious your thoughts. Nathan, do you want to be entertained when you're watching the Steelers? This is something we don't talk about enough. To me, the Pittsburgh Steelers are anti-entertainment. They're hate watching. Do you want to be entertained watching a football game, or do you just want it to come down to the last second, no matter how ridiculous things are?
I want to be entertained, but I've talked about it on the show before. I like that style of football. I like a defensive battle. I know it's unpopular, and most people would rather see fireworks left and right. But whenever you're watching an edge just make a play and get a huge time sack like TJ Watt's done time after time, to me that's entertainment. Now, again, I understand a lot of people are not entertained by that. But to me, that's what makes Steelers football, for me, exciting to watch, because I've said it before, you can win every game and you can lose every game. And they've proved it this year time after time to where you don't think they're going to win a game. Next thing you know, really, they just outplay the Lions the entire game until the last 5 minutes right there. Then you think they're going to, you know, win a game against the Browns and they have no offense. So that's Steelers football. Yeah. And, you know, to me, it's like a drama. You know, it's just entertainment. You don't know what's going to happen with that roster ever, ever.
Yeah, you're right. That's Steelers football. I wish it wasn't.
Chuck, we appreciate your call. We're going to take one more call real quick before we hit the break. We got 4334. How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic.
They may win a playoff game, but with Mike Tomlin, it's a similar situation in one aspect to that of James Franklin, in the sense that this is what he is. This is his ceiling. They're not going to go far in the playoffs. Nobody expects them to go far in the playoffs. And if they had a losing sitting, he might be gone. But it's going to take a losing season, in my opinion, before they get rid of him, because this is the same product that's been churned out ever since the beginning of his tenure as a Steelers coach, and it's become ingrained. His message is stale. It's the same message, the same results. You're not going to get anything more from Mike Tomlin than a slightly above 500 record, and maybe they sneak into playoffs by a field goal kick or whatever the case may be, but they're not going to go far. Nobody's really expecting them to do that. And this is a product that you're going to get, just like Wayne Franklin, in the sense of it took the loss to Oregon, a horrible three-game stretch where the team had just looked like they'd given up before they finally got rid of them. And that's what it's going to take with Tomlin. You're going to take some losing season that where it ends on a bad note before he gets fired.
Good stuff, Dave.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Nathan. One thing I want to spend a lot of time on tomorrow, did you see the comments by Kurt Cignetti that he practices for an hour 35 or an hour and 45 minutes and then they do a real short walkthrough. Did you see those comments?
I did not see. I was too busy looking at Indiana attacking the transfer portal, killing it. I didn't see those comments.
And then Landon Tingwall came out talking about how insecure James Franklin was because he had to practice for 3 hours and go through multiple walkthroughs that Landon Tingwall called, quote, exhausting. When we talk about coaching, especially like from the Franklin perspective, sometimes less is more. I want to get into this with you tomorrow. I mean, why practice for 3 hours if you can get your work done in an hour and a half? And ultimately, how did that lead to James Franklin's demise at Penn State? I thought it was really fascinating, and it goes hand in hand with the Tomlin stuff about your message just doesn't work there anymore.
All right, we're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes. Make sure you're staying tuned.
Oh, let's go.
You're still grooving, still connecting, still loving, still turning up, still thriving. You still got it, but your immune system, it weakens as you age. That's where vaccines come in. They help train and strengthen your immune response to fight off respiratory illnesses like flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, or COVID-19. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Book in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Meet Morgan Jones. Morgan is about to step into a world unknown to most, thanks to Progressive's Renters Insurance, a place of fresh linens and turndown service. You see, Morgan temporarily vacated her apartment and has gone to a hotel because a pipe burst in her apartment, a pipe that made her sense of reality and apartment ceiling all come crashing down. Luckily, Morgan checked into Progressive's Protection Zone. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers.
Here's what's happening in Hank.
The first Hollidaysburg Church's Free Soup Saturday of the new year will be January 10th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at St. Michael Church, Montgomery and Spruce Streets. There'll be a selection of homemade soups, bread and butter, dessert, and beverages. A free will donation will be appreciated but not mandatory. Everyone is welcome to attend. Have a nonprofit event? Send it to us 2.5 weeks in advance at the events tab of our station's website.
We play the legends of country. Hank FM. Hank FM.
Hey, here's the beauty of everything, Nathan. We actually get to break down a playoff game for the next week. That, the longer we can kick the can down the road with some football games, means we at least get to keep talking sports instead of getting into some of our nonsensical topics that we end up having to talk about.
Yeah, we were anticipating this being, you know, Drew Aller, James Franklin going into the Final Four right here in the college football playoffs. Nap, just Mike Tomlin, good old Mike Tomlin, kicking around and saving his job with another year at 10-7. So, I mean, the way you slice it this year, I guess, is successful for the Steelers. So,
yeah, you get to the playoffs, sure. And hey, look,
Steelers fans. Oh, look who got booted last second.
Shut up.
Oh, we got you?
Yeah. No, actually, you got me here?
I got you. Close it out.
I got a lot of Steelers fans saying, you cynical people just need to shut up. They're in the playoffs. Enjoy it.
Enjoy. Yeah, never take it for granted in the NFL. Anything can happen at any moment. We see so many teams fall off. The Lions, no one was expecting it this year. It can flip real quick on a switch. You lose your coordinators, but through and through, Mike Tallman's always finding himself in the hunt, so you never know.
One last thing.
Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1.
Take care, everybody. Take care.
WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC 1370.